You know, I was going to talk about the life of Joseph tonight, and it kind of ties in with what we talked about this morning. We all experience the wilderness. It's not an option. It has to happen for God to move us to where He wants us to be. And it's not an enjoyable place. I've spent some time out in the desert, and I can tell you that especially if you're in the army and you're sleeping in a tent, it's not a comfortable place to be. Some people enjoy the desert, but I wouldn't want to live there, I know that. There's not a lot that happens. There's not a lot of water out there, and there's not a lot of foliage as well. But we talked about the shrubs that grow and how they get their roots down, and they're strong, they're steadfast. You can't just grab a shrub in the desert and pull it out. You know, them babies are in there. They're tough. But we don't want to be like a shrub in the desert. We want to be a tree planted by the waters, right, amen? And sometimes, you know, as Christians, we can get stuck in the wilderness. We can get stuck in that place and even become comfortable there. We can just resolve to stay in that place where basically we may realize that we can't go back. Some people even want to go back when life gets tough to their old way. But there's others who decide, no, that's not a good idea to go back. However, there are others who don't want to move on from where they're at either. In other words, they find a comfortable place and they just want to stay there. You cannot go back and you cannot stay where you're at. You cannot stay where you're at. God does not tolerate that. He does not tolerate apathy and complacency or lukewarmness. Why? Because God has a destiny for you and God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed sometimes. So He allows situations to happen to get you to move. How many know that God was totally involved in everything Israel was what was doing in the wilderness as far as He had brought them to that place? How many know that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness? Isn't that what the Luke chapter 4 tells us? Yeah. After the great moment of His baptism and the Holy Spirit coming upon Him and the Father validating Him, "This is My beloved Son." It says immediately or straightway the Spirit took Him and directed Him into the wilderness for a time of testing, a time of temptation. He needed to be tested at all points and to overcome the temptation in the wilderness. Even as Adam had failed to obey God, Jesus, the last Adam, fulfilled all righteousness. Amen? He was obedient to the Father. He resolved to do the will of the Father no matter what the cost. And how many know that to obey the Father came at the ultimate cost for Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
Even the death on the cross for our benefit today. And so God also calls us to also take up our cross and to follow Him. To follow in the footsteps of our Messiah, Jesus. And in order for us to be equipped and be prepared for what He wants to do, He has to also take us through the wilderness experience. And when we're in the wilderness, that is the time when we will be tested and the time that we'll either be proven to be trustworthy or to fail the test and have to continually repeat that. How many know Israel had to go around a few times?
Yeah.
Had to go around the mountain, right? For 40 years.
40 years, yeah.
And so we don't want to be unbelieving. We want to believe, amen, that God is with us, God is for us, God is trying to teach us something. And so when you go through difficulties in life, you need to look at it and say, okay, God, what do you want me to learn? What am I to learn? What is the lesson I need to learn from this experience? So that I can go from this experience into the blessing that you have. God wants to bless us, but He won't bless us until we are ready to receive the blessing. Israel had to be prepared for the promised land. They had to learn that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They need to learn that God was going to be their source of life. He was going to be the one that would keep them. He was going to be the one to protect them. He was going to be the one to provide for them. And so in that place of the wilderness, they were brought to a place where they had to trust in God. And they had an option. They could either trust God and know that God loved them, that God was with them, God was for them. He had already demonstrated His glory to them many times before. Remember through the 10 plagues in Egypt And he brought them to this place. And they needed to remember the faithfulness of the Lord in the time of testing. When you are going through something, you know, remember the faithfulness of the Lord. That's why God gave them Passover, that they would not forget that he had brought them out by the blood of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen.
Right. And we need to remember what Jesus has already done for us. It's already been done for us at the cross.
Yes.
Amen? So that he could bring us in to an abundant life. I came that you might have life. And so the process of coming into life is through a wilderness at times. We have to go through that experience to learn some things, to be conditioned, to be prepared, to be equipped for what God has. So if you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to change your attitude about what happens to you. We don't understand what happens to us often, but if you really trust God, if you believe God, then we don't grumble and we don't complain. Israel proved that they didn't believe God because they began to grumble and complain and say, wouldn't it have been better if we had just gone back to Egypt? They wanted to go back. Well, you can't go back. You can't go back. So get that out of your head. And you can't stay camping in the same place perpetually. Amen. God's also going to move you on from there. And I talked about tabernacles. It was a reminder to them that God had given them a temporary dwelling place, that God had taken care of them, amen, in the wilderness. But they were temporary buildings or little shacks that they would make, little dwelling places. But they were portable. They would move, you know, from place to place as the Spirit led them. So they were not to make that thing a permanent dwelling. They were not to be permanently dwelling in the wilderness. The wilderness was just a time of testing. But if we're not careful, and we get into unbelief, and we can find a place sometimes where there's just enough manna to survive on and enough water to drink, and we can take on the shrub in the wilderness mentality. I'll just be a shrub in the wilderness. I'll just kind of hang out here and survive. Hold the fort. I know they're going forward. They're going into their destiny, but thank you very much. I'm not sure what's up ahead, and I don't know if I can trust God for what's up ahead, so I'll just stay where I'm at. Thank you very much. We've been doing church this way for how many years now? So we're comfortable. I'll just have my three hymns, my sermonette, and my potluck dinner, thank you very much, and my social with the ladies, and my bingo on Friday night, and, you know, we'll call it good.
Good luck with that.
God is saying no, no. And when God begins to move, he messes all that up.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
And so people are going to have one response or the other. They're either going to say, okay, let's go with God, or they're going to say, get out of here, you're making me uncomfortable. And unfortunately, people will do that. Sometimes they don't want to go with God's program because they want to be basically their own God. They want to rule their own destiny. And ultimately, folks, it's all unbelief. If we really believe God, if we believe that God has good for us, God has good intents, amen? Everything he does is good. It doesn't mean everything we experience is good or feels good. But discipline doesn't feel good, but it is necessary for a productive life. So if you would, I want you to turn one more time to James. James chapter 1, verse 2. Now, most of us can probably quote this. We have it memorized. But folks, what we need to do is get beyond memorization to practice. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. Everybody say produces. How many want to be productive?
Yes.
Of course we do. Patience. It produces patience. A steadfastness. Stability in your life. A tree becomes stable because of the adversity of the situation it's placed in. when the winds begin to blow against that sapling, right? The sapling begins to go deep. When conditions begin to get dry, the roots go what? Deeper. And so the adversity actually strengthens that little sapling. If you don't have adversity in your life, you won't get stronger. Your trials only come to make you strong. Strong people have been through some things. Yeah. If we've got a Casper Milquetoast life, and some of you, I don't even know what Casper Milquetoast is. I just heard that one time. It sounded good to say. But it means wimpy. Wimpy. If we have a wimpy experience because we want to play it safe and we want to kind of just find a place of, if you will, artificial security somewhere. We say, oh God, just don't bother me. I like my little life. I like my little predictable life right where it's at. You know, don't mess with my church life. You know, don't mess with my program. You know, don't mess with my predictable life. Because we are creatures of habit and we like to have things predictable, don't we? We like to know exactly what's going to happen. We like to plan our lives out. And there's nothing wrong with planning your lives out. In fact, I encourage you to plan your life out. However, you need to stay flexible because God may say, don't do that, do this instead. Yes. And the problem becomes when we say, no, God, I'm going to do it my way. God, I know what you're asking me to do, but I'm fearful and I don't want to do that. It's like the man who had the treasure, you know. And he didn't take the money that God gave him and invest it. And instead, you know, he hid it in the earth because he was fearful. What is that? It's unbelief. That's our biggest problem. It's unbelief. Do we really trust God? We say that we trust God, but trust is proven in the wilderness. It's proven in adversity. And the trying of your faith produces something. And if you want to be productive, you're going to have to undergo the trials. You're going to have to go through the difficulties. You're going to have to go through something to be something. And God is getting us ready for eternity. Amen. We're in the dressing room of eternity. And so we don't want to go barren. We don't want to go empty handed because we saved our life. We held on to ourselves. We became our own Savior. We didn't embrace the call of God. We didn't take up our cross and follow Him. Are you with me? We didn't fully surrender our lives. We saved our lives. We held on to our lives. And we did our little church thing over here. Hopefully to appease the man upstairs. You know, well, I punched the clock on Sunday morning. My obligation's been fulfilled. Now the rest of the time is me. When God pulls you out of your comfort zone, He says, I want you to go do this. That's going to determine whether you really trust Him or not. When He tells you to go speak to somebody, and you say, oh God, I'm like Moses, I'm just a child. I can't speak, you know. God tells you to do something that's going to be outside of your box. That's going to be outside of your comfort zone. You know what? You're going to learn that God will back you up. You're going to learn that God is faithful. If you obey Him, you'll never be disappointed. But if you don't listen to Him, you will be disappointed. Because you're going to miss out on the greater blessing. God wants to promote you. He wants to advance you, not only in heaven, but in this life. I believe why? For the purposes of the kingdom. God wants to have a people who have been refined in the fire, amen, who have been strengthened by His Spirit and equipped by His Spirit to represent Him in the earth, that we may go and do mighty things for Him in His name to demonstrate that the kingdom of heaven is among you and that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, amen, and that the world may believe that He is. So you and I have got to go through the process of being prepared for what He has for us. to do. And I know this crowd is ready for it. We're like chomping at the bit. Okay, God, whatever it is. And we've all prayed that prayer. I think probably everybody here has prayed, God, use me. Here I am. It's my life. I just want to serve you. I want to be a blessing, you know, in this world. And God says, okay. Wilderness. Because we're thinking, great ministries, great this, great that, visions of grandeur, you know. And God says, the way up is down. We need to root out some stuff. We need to get you pruned. We need to get you in shape. We need to get you conditioned so that you can handle the blessing when it comes. If we want a greater anointing, folks, it's going to require some testing so that we can be proven. No pilot would get in a plane, right, that had never been tested before unless he was a test pilot. And even then, he's going to have to know a little bit about the plane before he gets in it. But a test pilot will take a plane up, right, to find out whether or not that thing is going to be safe to put on the market. How many would want to, fly in a plane that hasn't been proven, that hasn't been tested? You know, sometimes we're like that. We want God to utilize us. We want God to use us in a great way, but we don't want Him to get us ready for that. And you know what happens? We end up jumping ahead of God because we want everything instantly. Yeah. It don't work that way in the kingdom. It may work that way at McDonald's, but not in the kingdom. It's not instant gratification, satisfaction. It is a process of being tried, being proven that you are user-friendly, that you are reliable, that you are trustworthy, that you have integrity, that you're not going to bow down under pressure to the wrong voices. You're not going to be able to buckle under peer pressure. You're not going to do that because you've got stability in the Lord. You've been strengthened by His Spirit. If we feel weak, and that's not a bad thing as long as you recognize that you're weak. The problem is some people don't realize they're weak. And when you don't realize they're weak, you try to go in your own strength. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize that they're weak. They realize that they don't have what it takes. They realize that they must be rich in God. They realize that they must draw from His grace, from His strength. Blessed are those who realize that they don't have what it takes to live for God. They're in a position, they're humble before God, and therefore they're receptive and they're open and they're hungry and thirsty and they'll be filled. And when you're filled, then the glory of God will be revealed through you. They will see Jesus and not us. We want to be overshadowed by Jesus. Amen? We're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So when people see us, they're going to see a likeness, an image of the heavenly. And so in order to be prepared to get ready for that place, you have to go through the time of testing. Now, the time of testing in the wilderness is not a permanent place. It was never designed to be a permanent place. It was a transitional place. Transition from glory to glory. Yeah. You're not going to go through the wilderness just one time, folks. There's going to be many wildernesses. Has anybody had several wildernesses already in life? How many know that Romans 8:28 promises God to work all things together? Now, Jesus, you know, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What happens in the wilderness is we have to understand that God is with us. God is for us. That God has a plan in this. That this is just a transitional place that we're in. But what happens in the wilderness is we learn that God is trustworthy. That He is faithful. That He brings us into a place where we're not trusting in just our own natural ability. In order for us to be supernatural people, we have to learn. Amen? to depend on the supernatural God who sends us. Otherwise, we can do the whole church thing naturally. There are many that are doing a whole church thing on Sunday morning naturally. Just within their own natural ability and their own natural understanding, they've got all the bells and the whistles and all the nice programs, but there's no power. There's no real substance to it. And so people are just coming there and they're getting pleased by man. They're getting entertained in some cases, but they're not being changed. They're not being transformed. And they're certainly not going to find themselves in their destiny if they keep going into that place.
That's right.
We need to get into a place, amen, where God is.
Amen.
And God, I want you to know, is with you in the wilderness. He never leaves. He never forsakes us.
Right.
The Holy Ghost was with Jesus in the wilderness. Amen?
Yes.
Now we know that Jesus was the Son of God, that He was God incarnate. But the Bible says in Philippians that He did what? He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He laid all that aside and He just became obedient to the Father in all things. To demonstrate to us how we also can live a supernatural, abundant, overcoming life.
Yes.
It's by simply depending on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Depending on the provision, the grace of God. And learning that we cannot live by just bread alone. But we must also feed on He who is eternal.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Yeah. How many knew that Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered? In His humanity, He had to submit Himself to the Father. And He had suffered in His flesh. He suffered in His humanity. But He learned as a man as well as being God, but as a man also, how to walk with the Father throughout every day, throughout every situation. He walked with the Father. He didn't have His own agenda. How many know that we cannot have our own agenda?
That's right.
It's got to be His agenda.
Right.
And so He set aside His agenda to take upon, amen, the form of a servant to do the Father's will. And He only did what He heard His Father, what He saw His Father do, and what He heard His Father speak. That's what He spoke. We need to follow His example. We need to set our agenda aside, folks, because it's easy for us to get an agenda, isn't it? I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to be this. I want to be that. Well, what we need is to be who God wants you to be. And be content in who God has created you to be. Because if you try to be somebody you're not, you're only going to make a mess of not only your life, but others around you. We need to be in our assignment. We need to be doing things that God has called us to do and not go beyond that assignment either. Jesus didn't have an agenda. He didn't do His own thing. He wasn't out to make Himself famous even. He wasn't out to make a name for Himself. Jesus was there to represent the Father. He says it's the Father that's doing the works. If you notice, Jesus always gave glory to the Father. He always pointed to the Father.
That's right.
He said, the Father that's in me, He's doing the works. And so we have a high priest who understands what we go through, the weaknesses. He knows what the wilderness is like even better than we do. Because none of us folks have suffered like Jesus. And so He's a faithful high priest. He understands what we're going through. He knows what it's like to walk this earth. But what He wants to do is He wants to exalt man. I want you to hear this. God wants to exalt you. People get quiet when you say that. because they think that you're being haughty. They think that there's a pride thing going on here. God wants to exalt man. How many know that when Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, there was a friendship? God honors us by allowing us to be a friend. He reaches down and he exalts us. We have been raised up together with Christ. And he honors us with an honored position. And when we receive honor, then we can give honor back to God. Then we can give glory back to God because we receive glory from God. We can give blessing to God because we receive blessing from God. Because God first so loved the world. God made the first step, the first move. He loved you that much. So God wanted to reach down in our lowest state. And when we were lost in our sin, amen, in our shame, God reaches down and he pulls up us out of the muck. And he cleanses us. And he creates something beautiful out of our lives. And he calls us friend. And we become an heir, a joint heir with Jesus. We become a son of God. Yes. To as many as received him. And when we understand what God has done, and that we have had an exalted position, folks, then we don't have to compete among ourselves. Or who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the most spiritual? Who's going to be seen or heard? You already in Christ have been elevated with him. You've been brought up, hallelujah, to a high place in heavenly realms. We're seated with him in heavenly places. That's why I love that. You see, that's the heart that we have, the heart of the servant. We have to let this mind be in us, right? That was also in Christ Jesus. And so, do you understand, folks, what God has done for you?
Yes.
In Christ Jesus, he has exalted you. Yes. What we need to do is believe what God has already done.
That's right.
We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We have to get the revelation. We have to understand our new identity in Christ. That's why we learn. That's why we read the Word. Amen? We discover who we are through the Word. It reveals truth, and truth sets you free from the bondage that you're nobody, that you're a nothing, that you're this, you're that, that the devil has lied to you. And we say, that's not my identity. I don't receive that anymore. I don't accept that. That's the old man. The old man is dead. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a joint heir. And God calls us friends because we do those things that he tells us to do. You see, a friendship requires consent, doesn't it?
Yes.
It means that we cooperate with each other. We take care of each other. We love one another. We respect. We honor each other in a friendship. Yes. Doesn't mean we always get along, but we still respect and we honor one another in a friendship. And so the wilderness experience is necessary to condition us, to bring us into a place where we can now be entrusted with greater riches of the kingdom for the purpose of multiplication, for the purpose of advancing God's kingdom in the earth, for the purpose of the glory of God being revealed through you and I in this earth. Amen. And people see a people that walk with their God, a people that worship God, will reflect, amen, his image. And so, in order for us to get to where we ultimately, God desires for us to go, you're going to have to go through the test.
Yes.
And so, count it all joy, brethren, when you are in a time of testing. Why? Because something good is going to happen.
Amen.
Yeah. Your response to the wilderness is going to determine how long you stay there or whether you get out of it. I hate repeating stuff, but I've repeated stuff in my life. Have you? Because I didn't listen.
Yeah. Done it again.
But if we will cooperate with God in it, and folks, know this, that God is with you, God is for you. He's not against you. And He's allowing something to happen in your life because on the other side of that, there's going to be a product that's going to be much more beautiful than you are right now. I know some of us think we're really beautiful, but wait till God gets done with us. Yeah. That's the cool thing about our spirit, man. He's being made more beautiful all the time, you know, in the glory of God. Now, the body may not be getting more beautiful. But that inner man, you know, the real you, you know, inside this earth suit, God wants to make that part of you beautiful for eternity. And because we have a high priest who can sympathize with us, it says in verse 16 to do what? Let us come boldly. Yeah. Now, you guys know that because that's what you do. I see that. I see that you have confidence towards God. And when you come and we worship together, we just have confidence because we know that Father has received us because of the blood of Jesus. We've been brought near. Amen?
Yes.
And so we have access, not because I performed so well today. No. Because as soon as you get into performance mode, you're going to be very quickly self-condemned. You're going to say, man, I'm a mess. What you need to do is turn away from yourself completely. Get yourself out of the picture. Take a look at Jesus and take a look at what God has done and say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to believe that report.
That's right.
I'm going to believe God's word. I'm not going to even trust my feelings. I'm not going to trust, you know, my thoughts. I'm going to trust only what God... If my thoughts don't line up with God's thoughts, throw them out.
Right.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So Jesus understands. He knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Because it's in our weakness that His strength is matured. It's made perfect. In our inability is His what? Ability.
That's right.
So that it will be obvious. The source of the glory is God.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
Why is it that Jesus didn't come in a high, noble place? He came as a carpenter's son.
Yes.
Working class, right? Blue collar.
Unusual shine, though.
You got that right. But you see, He came as a servant. Why? And even His own family, remember they said that this is just little brother here, you know. Or among His own kinfolk, among His own people. They didn't receive Him because they thought, well, this is just Mary and Joseph's son. This is the carpenter's son. And He can do no mighty works there. Why? They dishonored Him. That was a good message, by the way. On honor. You got to get these messages from this week. It was just tremendous. But what God wants to do is reveal His glory through earthen vessels, through clay jars like you and I. With all of our quirks and idiosyncrasies and differences, and God wants to reveal His glory through us. So they'll say, wow, isn't that Richard? That's Richard, but man, there's something. What's going on here, man? That's something, you know. There's something greater about it. There's something beyond just Richard here.
Yeah.
There's something beyond just Pete here, you know? There's something greater going on here. There's something He has that I need. Let your light so shine.
Yes,
your light, Lord.
Yeah.
Your glory.
So when you find yourself, and you do, and I'm learning that when I go through rough waters and I go through dry seasons, the wilderness is a dry place.
Yeah.
We're not always going to be floating on clouds. We love it that way. We just love to be in the glory and then in the joy and in that place. We want to be on the mountain all the time, don't we? But you're just not always going to be on the mountain. Let's just resolve right now that there's going to be times of wilderness. There's going to be times of drought.
That's okay.
But know this, that the time of drought is only a test.
Yes.
And the test is there to prove you. Will you believe God? Will you be found faithful in that time so that He can give to you the greater riches? He can entrust to you the greater riches. If we can see and feel, it's easy to believe. But when all of a sudden you don't feel His presence, when all of a sudden you're not seeing things, when all of a sudden you're finding yourself dried up and wondering, has God left? Then you have to go back to what Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
Lo, I am with you always.
Yes.
And then you go back and say, and the devil comes along and says, because you've got sin in your life. Because God doesn't love you. It's never going to be like it was before. This thing is permanent, he'll say. This is it, man. This is your portion. Dry, barren land. That's your portion. You're just going to be a shrub. Just get comfortable being a shrub. Just get used to it.
No way.
Or say, no way, man. I'm turning my back to the old shrub.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking to Jesus. I'm saying, Lord, I'm marching to Zion. I'm going into the promised land.
Yeah.
I'm not going to remain here. But while I'm there, I need to ask the question, what do you want me to learn? What can I learn from this experience, Lord?
That's right. Amen. Why am I here, Lord?
So, count it all joy because God's equipping you and getting you ready for something. What He wants you to do is to learn that it's not by power, it's not by might, but by His Spirit. It's by the truth of His Word. What God says is, it doesn't change. His word is forever settled in heaven. If God said, I won't leave you, guess what? He's not going to leave you. Now, your mind, your own heart may condemn you. You may feel like, oh, God left me. I don't feel Him anymore. Come on, that's a wilderness. That's a time of testing. That's not a bad thing. Kabori, when we were out in Reading, this guy would get up early and he'd go running all over Reading, you know. I can't do that anymore. I used to run. But he disciplines himself. He's in good shape because he disciplines himself. Now, discipline is not always pleasurable. Working out doesn't always feel good, at least not initially. But after you've been disciplined and after you've worked out and after you start to receive the benefit of your investment there, then it's worth it. And so it is in our lives. When you go through those times, those seasons, those dark times, I've come to learn something, that God's getting ready to do something awesome.
That's right. Yes.
Hold on to Jesus.
Yes.
Hold fast your confession. What do you confess? Confess what God says about you. Confess what He has promised you.
Yes.
Yes.
And the time will come when God will move you out of that transition point into your harvest, into your abundance. But if you try, you know, again, if you try to stay where you're at, you're going to wither up and die. And if you try to go back, well, that don't work either. And so we're in transition. In fact, I believe this world is a transitional point ultimately. We're passing through.
That's
we're a
right.
pilgrim people.
Yep.
In it, but not of it.
But this isn't our home. Our citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
And we're waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And He's going to call His people home someday. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever.
Yes.
So I'll cling to the old rugged cross.
Yeah.
Until my trophies at last I lay down. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. We're going to lay our trophies at His feet. Yeah. And we're going to say, worthy is the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
There is glory up ahead.
Yes.
Don't lose it. Okay? By shifting into a place of unbelief. Because you don't understand something, the Bible says not to be wise in our own understanding.
That's right.
That's where we get into trouble.
Yep.
We think we've got to have God figured out. Joseph, which I was going to talk about tonight, in just a moment we'll start that sermon. He did not know what was going on. Joseph did everything right. Amen? And he gets forsaken, sold into slavery. He gets exalted for a short time. He gets lied about, ends up in prison. It looks like an answer is going to come where one of the guys that he had just given an interpretation to their dream, he says, well, now remember me when you get out and you get back to Pharaoh. Remember to tell him I'm here and I want out of here. Well, guess what? He forgot all about him. He never said anything. So here Joseph for 10 years sits in this place. And never in the Bible does it say anywhere that Joseph complained or grumbled. It's amazing. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ.
Yep. Yep.
For the joy set before him. Yep. Joseph had to have seen something. He might have had to be a man of faith. He had to have believed God.
Yes.
He's an example for us to follow. We want to follow, amen?
Amen.
Yes. Those who, by perseverance and faith, receive the promises.
Mm-hmm.
And so, bad things happened to a good man. But it was all part of God's plan. It was all God's plan. All those things happened to him. God gave Joseph dreams that, you know, his sheaf, as they were tying sheaves, was standing up, and there was, what, 12 sheaves around? And they're all bowing down to his sheaf. Now, his brothers didn't like him because he was daddy's boy, you know? And they were jealous of him because he was a favored son. He was the son of Rachel, you know. And so they said, we got to get rid of this guy, man. He's, you know, we don't like him. He's one of daddy's favorites. There was favoritism in the home. It was, in a sense, dysfunctional in some ways. How many of you know it's not good to have favorite kids?
Right.
Causes problems in the home.
Right.
You may have a favorite, but you don't want to let on like that's your favorite, all right? You don't want to let them know that. I know you've always been the favorite, yeah. But do you see? These things that happened to Joseph were God's plan to put him in a position eventually to be Savior of Israel. And so at the end, these same brothers who had forsaken him were bowing down to him. And he had every power under his authority, amen, to make life miserable for them, to mess them up, to have them put to death even. But he was a man of God, a man of integrity. And instead he forgave. He canceled the debt. And he says, what you had intended for evil, God has intended for good.
Yeah.
So whatever happens to you when people misuse you, mistreat you, forsake you, whatever happens, it's actually good for us. The things that happen to me, the things that are said about me, the lies that are said about me, it's actually good for me if I handle it the right way.
That's right.
If I handle it the right way.
Amen.
It amazes me how things happen that don't make sense and things happen that are such an injustice to us. And we say, how can this happen? This is not fair, God. Do you think what happened to Joseph was fair? No.
Hello?
Was it God's plan? Yes.
Or Jesus?
How is it that They all conspired together against me, Joseph must have been thinking. How could this happen to me? How could they do that to me? God's outside the whole thing. He's looking at the whole thing. The whole plan is right there. And he sees the beginning and the end, and he knew that the day would come when this man who had been forsaken, sold as a slave, would be exalted to prime minister, hallelujah, under the pharaohs. Amen?
Amen.
In the highest place. How many know that our Lord Jesus, the same way, he's exalted to the right hand of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
And so whatever's happening to you, whatever test you're experiencing, whatever wilderness you might be in tonight, know this, that God has got something good for you if you shift away from negativity and gossip and complaining and blaming, fixing blame on others for my problem. If you handle it right, then God will entrust to you the greater riches that he intends to give you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when things happen to us that we don't understand, that don't seem to be fair, don't seem to make sense, just know that God is doing something. He's working something out. And you're not going to be able to figure it out all the time. You're not going to be able to have God in your little box of predictability and know exactly what God's going to do next. So just forget about it. When you learn how to lean on Him and to rest in Him, and resolve that God loves me, He's with me, He's for me. I don't understand this, but I know that He has good in store for me.
Amen.
Folks, I'm not saying this out of flattery tonight, am I? That is the truth. I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, right? And not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. But you're going to have to go through the wilderness to be qualified, to be prepared for what He has up ahead. And so when you find yourself in the place of testing, zip it up.
Yeah.
Don't complain. Don't bellyache. And whatever you do, don't blame God. Don't get mad at God. Because He's going to work something out in your life.
Yes.
I mentioned it this morning. But we look at a great men and women of God and we say, wow, you know, I want to go up and get prayed for them. And because I want what they have. But you may not want the process, though, that got them there. And if you want what they have, you're going to have to go through a process to get what they have. But if you want to be great in the kingdom, you're going to have to go through God's process. So you might as well resolve right now that whatever happens to me is good for me. Does that sound too simplistic?
No.
Whatever happens to me as a believer, as a child of God, whom the Father has in the palm of my hand, Jesus said, no one is able to snatch you out of His hand. As a child of God, whatever happens to you ultimately is going to be good for you. Why am I saying these things? Because some of you are there right now, so you're going through it, and others are yet to step into that place. Now, say amen.
Amen.
Count it all joy. But the day comes, and how many can agree with me tonight, and I'm just going to close with this, that you can look back in your life. Some of you haven't been saved a very long time, but even for a short time, you can already look back and see the progress in your life. You can see how God has been making, bringing changes. And you can look back and you look at the times in your life that were very uncertain. The times that you were wondering, am I going to live through this? Am I going to get through this thing? How am I going to meet that obligation? How am I going to pay that bill? Has anybody beside myself been able to look back and see that those times when they were so uncertain, that God has now brought you through, and now you can look back at it and say, look what the Lord has done.
Yes.
And then when the Lord brings you through it, now you can lift your hands and give Him praise and give Him glory.
Yes.
Because what has happened is He has increased the glory in your life through that.
Yes.
As we receive glory, then we can give glory to God. Hallelujah.